This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. And it's good to be here. It's good to be back in our broadcasting area. Hopefully you guys had a happy new year. So, and also happy new year to all of you. It's been an interesting day for me. It's been very tiring, very stressful for me. So please keep me in prayer. But anyways, I was, really wasn't feeling very well today emotionally. Didn't really feel like I didn't really feel like doing a video, but I'm just gonna go ahead and just do a video regardless of how I feel. So just kind of pray for me. Please bear with me. Again, it's been a very stressful day. I've got a lot of things going on right now that is a little overwhelming. So please keep me in prayer for that. It is good to be back in the normal area to doing a broadcast and with even more light. So I do apologize for yesterday's broadcast with very minimal light, but you know, I did get invited over to the Duggars to celebrate with them, and it was a joy to be with them and just be thankful for all that God has done. And it was also really nice to being able to go ahead and actually do the broadcast kind of alone. I got a couple announcements. But before we do anything, I have sermon audio. I have a update for sermon audio. I'm going to try to do this every month to kind of show everybody what God's been doing. So for the month of December, the total of MP3 sermon downloads, for December was 1,679. But the grand total of MP3 sermon download to date is 8,278. Total videos downloaded for the month of December was 167. And the grand total of videos downloaded to date is 313. I actually finally understand those numbers. I didn't understand what they were, so I was only sharing grand totals. One's for the month, and one's actually the grand total of everything. But the number of downloads by mobile phone for the month of December was 768. And we have a grand total of 3,350 download mobile to date. So that's to date. According to this, and a lot of these numbers aren't the most accurate, but they are, you know, in ballpark range. The month of December, the listening audience covers 47 states and 41 countries, currently broadcasting at 104 videos. That's not sermons. Well, I mean, a lot of it is sermons, but a lot of it is either promotional stuff or stuff that I've kind of just keep, you know, stuff to keep in mind. I do want to share some states with you guys. Let's see here. We have California. For the month of December, we had a total of 208 downloads from California. That is really interesting because California is a very liberal state. So if that is actually accurate and true, hopefully that there is differences being made in California. Let's see here. It looks like, Arizona. Right now in Arizona, let's see here. Let me go up here. Let me go up just a bit. It looks like there were a total of 34 in Arizona. Oklahoma, there was 32. Minnesota, looks like there is 27. I came from Minnesota. I grew up mostly in Minnesota. Let's see here. I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to see. Missouri, there was 14. Total of 14 in Missouri. Praise the Lord. Let's see, Mississippi 10, Louisiana 9, Arkansas looks like 8, And I'm not going to share every single one of them because there's actually a lot of states mentioned. It's almost the whole nation, so I'm not going to really get in too much about it. But there has, so it looks like there has been quite a, I mean, there, the biggest one right now is California. Virginia came in at 179. So, you know, I want you guys to, you know, so that's all I'm going to share for that. I'm not going to share too much of that, but one thing I do ask that you please pray for that ministry, pray for the Sermon Audio ministry, pray that the people all over the world will, you know, take and listen to these videos, and you know, that it might be a difference maker. So that's that. That's going to be for the Sermon Audio. Now, for prayer requests, at the beginning of the broadcast, please, I did ask if you can pray for me. So please do pray for myself and my family. We're financially not in a very good spot right now. And we're still waiting on unemployment. Some of us are still waiting for unemployment to come through, knowing that we're temporarily unemployed and we haven't gotten our checks yet. And it's kind of agitating me a little bit. So if you can pray for me that I don't get as agitated about it. And I really hope that unemployment goes through, because I'm going to tell you something, we're hurting a little bit. and we've got stuff that we got to get taken care of and paid for. So, I mean, I've actually had to make some sacrifices myself to try to at least get some money, put forth towards what we need to get taken care of. So pray for me, pray for my family. It's been a very stressful day for me. I haven't really been feeling very well as per emotions. I didn't really feel like even doing a video tonight. I was just going to say, forget it, I'll just do one tomorrow. But I'm just going to do a video regardless. So please pray for me. Please pray for the ministry. We do have a fellow sister. Please keep her in prayer. Please pray for strength for her and her mother and stuff. She has a lot going on in her life as well. So pray that God will maybe send a person her way to kind of lighten the burden a little bit. I know Brother Joey, he doesn't mind me calling him out by name, but please keep Brother Joey in your prayers. He's going through quite a bit, and you know, he's got his normal everyday pain that he has to kind of deal with. So pray for him. And see what else. I think that's going to be it for prayer requests. If you got a prayer request, feel free to share it. If you want me to share it, I won't call you out by name unless if you want me to. But if you, you know, but I try to be respectful towards others, you know, as per just, you know, prayer requests, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. And I don't want to be putting them in a very awkward position. So, anyways, I forgot to play a hymn, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and do that at the end. I've got so much in my mind right now, I feel like I'm going crazy. But the thing is, I think a lot of the stuff that I'm, yes, let's see here. We do have a fellow brother who needs prayer. He's got pain and nerve damage, so I really don't want to call this particular brother out and by name, just because I don't want to embarrass them. But please, there's a fellow brother that needs our prayers. He's in pain and has nerve damage, so if we can keep him in prayer, and you know, good Lord knows who it is. See, a whole lot of us know, but Lord knows. So please pray for him. And I'll definitely be in prayer for that. And, you know, we need to pray for each other. Amen. We need to pray and be an encouragement to each other, because that's important. So, well, with that said, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to, let's see, what else? Is there any other announcements that do I have? Let's see. Oh, yeah, we do need to pray for our nation. Our nation's in trouble. And here's the thing. I was listening to Brother Ryan talk about our nation. And listen, I'm not against our nation. Okay? Our leaders, we have some terrible leaders in office. And there's going to be new people that are going to be sworn in. But the last time I checked, the government shut down. So if anyone wants to correct me on that, please feel free to do so. But the last time I checked, the government shut down. And I don't know how all that's going to work with swearing in new Congress. I mean, possibly, but they probably wouldn't be able to get to work right away, knowing that the government is still shut down. And this nation has a lot of blood on its hands. Primarily because of all the abortions that have happened in this nation. And we have, I've looked and I've been hearing and seeing things on Facebook at the enormous amount of babies that are murdered per year in this nation. And I'm telling you what, I think I'm surprised that God hasn't completely destroyed this nation off the face of the earth yet. But that is His grace. Now listen, our leaders need to be saved, okay? As much of a bunch of clowns they are, and as much as they are Luciferian and satanic and a bunch of pedophiles, you got to remember too, the Lord did die for them, okay? He didn't just die just for a select group of people. The Lord Jesus Christ did die for those pedophiles. But those pedophiles need to repent. And we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray, for our president. We need to pray for Trump. We also need to pray for Pence, because whether he's saved or not, I don't know. People say he's saved, but I've also heard from people, too, that he's got a Catholic background. It wouldn't surprise me very much if he had a Catholic background, but I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to be saying or saying things that are going to be completely inaccurate. So we need to pray for our nation, and our nation is in big trouble with God. Okay, our nation is in huge trouble with God. I don't care. And by the way, I saw somewhere too where Trump is basically threatening to shut down and close. Now, okay, anyone who's watching, if I'm wrong, if what I'm about to say is wrong, please correct me on this. But I saw somewhere that Trump is threatening to shut down the southern border. So it's not just the government being shut down, but Trump wants to close down the southern border and trade and stuff from the southern border until Trump gets what he wants. Now, to me, I don't know if that's a really wise thing to do or not. I mean, who knows? But I personally think, in my opinion, I just say just leave the government shut down until they give them what they want. And that's as far as I'd probably go with that. But I think maybe shutting down the whole southern border could be a little extreme. But knowing that there are many illegals coming in, I don't know. I'll let you be the judge on that. Okay. But anyways, that's about it for that. I didn't know what to preach on tonight. I didn't have anything planned, quite honestly. My plans were just to call it a night and not even do a video because I've got so much on my mind right now. Maybe that this might, preaching the word might just take my mind off everything that's going on. But I'm actually, what I'm going to do is I want to focus on Matthew 1:1. And I'm going to focus on that particular verse, and I'm going to preach a message. I did a study on it a while back, and I'm going to preach a message The title of the message is just Matthew 1:1. I don't know what else to put it. I could say, you know, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, son of Abraham, because that's basically what it's going to be about. So yeah, I'm gonna be touching on Matthew 1:1. So, if you got your Bibles, if you have your authorized King James Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew 1:1. Matthew 1:1. Matthew 1:1 says, "The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Okay. Now, here's something interesting that you may or may not know about Matthew. In the book of Matthew, the Lord is presented as Jehovah's King. Okay? So that's how Matthew is portrayed. Matthew is written and portrayed as Jehovah's King. Okay? So if we turn to Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9:9. All right. I got it. You know, Zechariah is like a hard book to find, and it's really not that hard, but sometimes it's hard. Here we go. Zechariah 9:9. All right. Oops, I was on the right page. Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So Jesus Christ is Jehovah's King. Okay? Jehovah is the name of God. Okay? You know, Pastor Mike had mentioned about Yahweh and all this, and he mentioned about how these cults are, you know, use the word Yahweh and stuff like that, and I would say this. I agree with Pastor Mike. We got to stick with what the Bible says, and we shouldn't go off on a tangent and assume things and assume that we can just call God by his secret names. God tells us plainly, okay, Jehovah Jireh, okay, you have Jehovah. Jehovah is the name of God. You see Jehovah. Actually, you know what? Hang on a second. I'm going to see something here really quick. I wonder how many times Jehovah is mentioned. Let's see. Put the asterisk on there. You know, that's interesting. Okay? When you look on the Pure Bible search, Jehovah and the meaning and the name Jehovah, when you put like Jehovah Jireh or just Jehovah or Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah is mentioned 7 times in the King James Bible. 7 times. Isn't that amazing? Jehovah God. Normally, 7 is a very popular number that is correlated to God's number. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it's what's really interesting is Jehovah is mentioned 7 times in your King James Bible. It is. God's number is Jeremiah 33:3. That's amazing too, isn't it? But Jehovah is mentioned 7 times in your King James Bible. Isn't that cool? I think that's pretty cool. I don't know. I just wanted to check on that because it just seemed really pretty interesting. So, the first thing I want to take a look at in this passage is the Son of David. Okay? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Now, I'm probably going to get off topic a little bit, but the first Adam, from the book of Genesis, Adam, how long did he live? He lived to be 930 years, okay? did you all know, and Pastor Mike's mentioned this too, which I think is pretty fascinating, that the 930th chapter and verse is Matthew 1:1. And Jesus Christ is what? Jesus Christ is the second Adam. Matthew 1:1 is the 930th chapter in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? That's pretty cool. Now, so we're going to see here. So we see here that, so the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. There are two names. Okay, so we're going to focus on, right now, we're going to focus on son of David. Okay. Jesus Christ is the humbled and now exalted. Okay, so why is Jesus Christ called the Son of David? This is because it was promised directly to David. In other words, the Son of David expresses his relationship as being the heir to David's throne. Amen. Jesus Christ has that promise of inheriting, or he's the heir to David's throne. Amen. And so, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Wow. Now, we see that it could correlate to Solomon. But what I believe, too, is that that's talking about Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ has an everlasting kingdom. It is an everlasting kingdom in whom he is the head of. It is his kingdom. Therefore, he is the king. Therefore, he is the head of his kingdom. And now, last night we talked about, we briefly talked about Jannes and how he had two heads. How a double-minded man is unstable. The reason why Jesus Christ has a stable kingdom, because number one, he is God. There is only one God of this universe, of this whole world. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jehovah. Okay? And by the way, Jesus Christ is what? He is the rock. So when you build your house on a rock, you're stable, aren't you? You're stable. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? When you build your house on a rock, you are stable. But when you build your house on sand, you're unstable. Why? Because when you're unstable, you'll fall. You will fall. You will fall if you're unstable. Satan's kingdom. Okay? The fourth kingdom. Think about this. The fourth kingdom. Okay? Iron mixed with miry clay. Where does the stone strike? It strikes at the feet. You realize is that the feet are easily broken, aren't they? It's because the fourth kingdom is going to be an unstable kingdom. Why? Because the Antichrist is the beast with seven heads. And he will make peace, but he will break it. You see, a person who is not double-minded wouldn't do that. A double-minded person constantly, his or her ways are always changing. Jezebel is unstable. Her ways are movable. How can you know them? Jezebel is a unstable spirit. Amen. Now, I'm sorry, I got off on a I kind of got off on a whole rabbit trail on that. But we see that Jesus Christ, he has an everlasting kingdom. And if it's an everlasting kingdom, and he is the head of that kingdom, his kingdom is stable. Amen. He has a stable kingdom. But that's why he's preparing us for when we go home. Amen. Because he's going to make sure. God is going to make sure that he doesn't have to kick anyone out of heaven again. Because he already had to do it once. Okay. He's going to do it again with Lucifer. Because he's going to do it with Satan. Okay. But he's going to make sure that that doesn't happen again. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. That's Jesus Christ. His kingdom, his throne, will be established forever. Therefore, we see that there's a relationship there with Jesus Christ and his heirship to David's throne. This is why he is called the Son of David. Okay? Now, that expression occurs 9 times in the book of Matthew. Okay? Matthew 1:1. Matthew 9:27. Matthew 12:23. Matthew 15:22, Matthew chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, Matthew chapter 21, verses 9 and 15, and Matthew chapter 22, verse 42. Those are the expressions that occurs in the book of Matthew. Amen. Let's see here. Son of David. Let's type that in. Let's see here. Here we go. Okay, I'm gonna read you. I'm just gonna go through and read the verses here. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 9:27. And when Jesus departed thence, two men followed him, carrying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Matthew 12:23. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried on him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Matthew chapter 20, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Matthew 20, 31. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should not hold their peace, but they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Matthew 21, verse 9. And the multitude that went before him, that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna to the son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Matthew 21, 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the son of David, they were sore displeased. And here's the last occurrence in Matthew. Matthew 22:42, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. Okay? So we see those are the 9 occurrences. That's not the whole Bible. That's only in the book of Matthew alone. Okay? 9 occurrences. David as heir to the throne occurs in the following verses. Okay? Psalm 132, verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out his roots. Okay, in that verse, in Isaiah 11:1, you see that word branch is capitalized. And anything, anytime you see a capitalization in the Bible, it usually has a deity significance. And that branch is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the branch. The question I have for you is, are you in that branch? Are you in that branch? Okay. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. We see branches capitalized. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That is talking about Jesus Christ. Okay. Acts 13:23. Of this man's seed hath God according to his promise raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Okay. Romans 1:3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, the name David is in the commencement of the New Testament and is also in the end. Okay? It's also in the end. What do I mean by that? It's in the book of Revelation. Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of whom? David, and the bright and morning star. And the bright and morning star. David was a man after God's own heart. And by the way, I'm just getting started, by the way. I'm not even close to being done yet. I'm just getting started. I'm not even half done yet. David was a man after God's own heart. You probably have heard the expression like father, like son. I want you to keep this in mind when making a connection between Jesus Christ and David as per a man after his own heart. Okay? Keep that in mind. Like father, like son. Okay, Acts 13:22. And when he removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. You know why David was called a man after God's own heart? Because David was concerned about doing the will of God. You want to know something? Jesus said, when he was left behind in Jerusalem, when his parents found him after 3 days, Jesus told his parents, he basically said, I must be about my father's business. See, Jesus was concerned about doing the will of God and doing what he had commanded him to do. David was a man after God's own heart. And Jesus Christ was a man, but he's also God. Okay, but Jesus Christ was after the Father's heart. He was. Okay. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As thou wilt. You see, Jesus Christ God the Son wanted to do God the Father's business, to do the Father's will. Shouldn't we all be like David and our Lord and being after the heart of our Father by doing His will? We should, right? We should. Mark 14:36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. John 6:38, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. You see, Jesus Christ was more focused on doing and accomplishing the Father's will. And I believe David had that same heart. He had that same heart. That's a characteristic that, you know, they both had. Amen. Let's see here. Because the term Son of David establishes the relationship between Jesus Christ as being the heir of the throne of David, we see two big parallels between David and Jesus Christ. Okay? That could show more evidence as per why Jesus Christ, the Son of David, is the Son of David. But this next example is more of showing David being a type and picture of Jesus Christ, if that makes sense. Okay? Number one is that David was a shepherd boy. Okay? Who is Jesus? Jesus Christ is the bishop of our souls, isn't he? He is our shepherd. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. And David was a shepherd boy. Okay? 1 Samuel 16:11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and beholdeth, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. David was a shepherd boy. David is a type and picture of Jesus Christ. Amen? He is a type and picture. Okay, John 10:11. This is what Jesus says. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is that great shepherd of the sheep. He is the chief shepherd. He is the bishop of our souls. Amen. Now, let's continue on. But we also see that David was the second king of Israel. Okay? You know who the first king was? Saul. By the way, Saul was so disobedient. And Pastor Mike touched on this, I believe, this morning, okay, this afternoon, that God removed grace from Saul. Saul was so disobedient, God said to him, I'm done with you. It repenteth me from ever making you king. I am done with you. By the way, all those who take that mark of the beast, God's going to say, I'm done with you. And by the way, God will not speak to you anymore if you take that mark. You take that mark, God's done speaking to you. You're done. The time is coming where it will be too late. The question is, all you guys who don't believe, will you choose this very day to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because I'm going to tell you something. the time is coming where it's going to be too late for you to repent. Once that door shuts, it's shut. That's it. That's it. Okay? Keep that in mind. But Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. He is the King. Not just of Israel. He's King of the whole universe. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the chief King. Amen. Jesus Christ is the chief King. In 2 Samuel 5:3, so all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. Okay. John chapter 1 verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Amen. Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. So as we see that Jesus Christ, so even though Jesus Christ is the Son of David, I don't think it would mean that he's the direct offspring, which, I mean, he does come in that lineage. Okay? He does come in that lineage. But the reason is because Jesus Christ was not conceived by man, but Jesus Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost. But because Jesus Christ was begotten by the Holy Ghost and born through Mary, he would qualify as being the son of David because Mary and Joseph were in the lineage of David. So Jesus Christ may not be the direct offspring. Why? Because Jesus Christ had to be pure. Okay? But he came. Mary and Joseph were in the lineage of David, which qualifies him to be in the lineage of David, which would then qualify him to being the heir of David's throne. Amen? So, let's see here. Matthew 1:20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 1, verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Luke 2:4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out into the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. John chapter 7 verse 42, hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? You see? So we're starting to see here, the relationship as to why Jesus Christ is the son of David. Now, if Jesus Christ was a direct offspring, how then could it? So my question I want to pose is this, and maybe I'm wrong, okay? But if Jesus Christ was the direct offspring, how can then he be made perfect and blameless? Because when you have a direct offspring, you're passing down the sin nature. Okay? You're passing down the sin nature. Okay? If Jesus Christ got that sin nature, how could he then be offered as that perfect sacrifice on the cross? Therefore, Jesus Christ had to be conceived by the Holy Ghost. And even though he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, he was still born through the lineage of David. Okay? Exodus 12:5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. Let me tell you something. God shows us that Joseph knew not Mary, his wife, till after Jesus was born. by the way, that knocks that whole Catholic doctrine of saying that Mary was a virgin all her life. Mary was not a virgin all her life. Joseph knew Mary after Jesus was born. And here's why. Because Jesus had to be pure and clean without sin. Does that make sense to you guys? He had to be pure. Okay? And by the way, he was the firstborn. Think about that. Jesus Christ was the firstborn, and he was the firstborn male. Therefore, he is clean and pure. Well, not because of that, but he's the firstborn male, and he is clean and pure, without spot, which qualifies him to being our lamb and that perfect sacrifice. Amen? So, in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. So as we see from Scripture, Jesus Christ had to be without blemish and without sin. So therefore, God knew what he was doing, and by being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, he can be without blemish and still be born to the lineage of David and still be able to inherit the throne of David. Let me tell you something. God is pure and he's clean. God doesn't sin. God, there is no wickedness in God. God doesn't sin. Okay? If God doesn't sin, that means his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is pure, clean, and perfect. And the Holy Ghost can't sin. Amen? So, also to continue proving the point, here, there's more scripture I want to share with you. I'm telling you, I'm not done yet. We still got a lot, little bit ways to go yet. Psalm 110, verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Matthew 22, verses 42 through 45. Saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto him, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David didn't call him Lord, how is he his son? Which proves my point that he wasn't a direct physical seed. Does that make sense? Okay, he wasn't, how do I put it? He wasn't the actual seed of David. He was born through the lineage of David, but he isn't the direct, he isn't the direct seed to David. Does that make sense? I don't want to confuse you. I hope that's making sense to you. Okay. Mark chapter 12, verse 36. For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Luke chapter 20, verse 42. And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, then the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. Okay? Now, I think we established the son of David. So now let's go and take a look at the son of Abraham. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a look at the son of Abraham. Okay. The son of Abraham. Because, now this, I promise you, this section is not lengthy. It's a very short section. Okay. The son of Abraham. Okay. He's also known as the son of Abraham. Because it is promised to him and received with joy by him as by David. The son of Abraham expresses his relationship as being heir to the land given to Abraham. Amen? So, God made a promise to Abraham that the land flowing with milk and honey, which is the land of Israel, okay, would be his. And so the fact that Jesus Christ is called the son of Abraham, that establishes the relationship to our Lord's heirship to the land of Israel. In other words, the land of Israel belongs to God. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? The land of Israel belongs to God. And the son of Abraham establishes that relationship. You don't mess with the apple of God's eye, and you don't mess with God's land. You mess with God's land, he's going to deal with you the way he will deal with you. Now, I understand that, here's the thing. The Jews are indeed God's chosen people. But I'm very careful when it comes to the Jews. I'm very careful. Here's why I say that. Because not everybody who claims to be a Jew is a Jew. Why do I say that? Let's see here. How do you say synagogue of Satan? Here's why I say what I say. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Jesus is saying there are those who claim to be Jews, but they are not, and they lie, and they really are of the synagogue of Satan, which means that they are Satanists. I will give you an example. The Rothschild family. I'm probably going to get spiritually attacked for saying this. But the Rothschilds claim to be Jews, but they're actually Satanists. They're full-blown Luciferian Satanists. That's what the Rothschilds are. But they claim to be Jews. Okay? Revelation 3:9. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I've loved thee. So you see that there are those who claim to be Jews and are not, but they lie. This is why I say I'm very careful when it comes to those who are Jews and those who just say they are. Now, don't get me wrong. The Jewish people are, in fact, God's chosen people. But not everyone who says they are a Jew is a Jew. Call me anti-Semitic if you like. Hate me. Say all kinds of false things about me all you want. But according to my Bible, in two spots, Jesus himself says there are those who claim to be Jews and are not. Amen? There are those who claim to be Jews, but are not, but they lie. Amen? So, getting back to this. So, Abraham, okay? We see that son of Abraham, again, is the expression of the relationship as the Lord having heirship over the land of Israel. Okay? Luke chapter 1, verse 73. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham. Okay? John chapter 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Does it say all the families of Israel shall be blessed? No. It said all families in the earth shall be blessed. People will take that verse out of context and say that's only speaking about the Jewish people. I disagree. I disagree. That's talking about Abraham's children. Whether you've been engrafted through Jesus Christ or the physical seed of Abraham. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, if you're born again and you believe Jesus Christ and you've been sealed with that Holy Ghost, you are a child of Abraham. Amen? So, Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. And then thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and the seed is of many, but is of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Okay? Now, here's the last bit of part. The little last chunk of the son of Abraham. Okay? This is directly in correspondence to the heir to the land. Okay? Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed I give in this land, from the river of Egypt, unto the great river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, and the Cadonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Muscovites. No, I'm just joking. Not serious. I'm not actually being serious. Wait a minute. Hang on a second. I got to get my sound effects going. Hang on. I think it's going to be a little bit too late. Hang on. That was a joke. I wasn't actually serious. I was just being a little humorous. Anyways, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. I ran out of jokes. I'm not going to make a joke anymore. Anyways, well, not anymore, but just for tonight. And the Jebusites. What is the land that Jesus Christ will be the heir of? That is the land of Israel. Which, by the way, if Jesus Christ is the heir of Israel, that should tell you that he's not done with that land. If he's not done with that land, that means he's not done with the Jews. Okay, the land is the land of Israel. And if Jesus Christ through Abraham will be the heir, do you think Jesus Christ is done with Israel? No, he's not. Do you think that if Jesus Christ will be the heir of the land of Israel, don't you think he'll come back to rule and reign in Israel for 1,000 years? You see, he's not done with Israel yet. All these anti-Semitic people that say, that the church replaced Israel, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ is called the son of Abraham because he is the heir to the land of Israel. Amen? He is the heir. He's the heir to David's throne, and he is the heir of the land of Israel. Amen? Why did this pop up now? What is that? It's just emergency alerts? What? I don't know what's going on with that. That thing just like popped up out of nowhere. Anyways, so Jesus Christ ain't done with Israel. And people I know this may sound really mean, but if people think that the church has replaced Israel, they make themselves look like donkeys. They make themselves look like donkeys. Because, quite frankly, they don't know their Bible. They're just following man and whatever man tells them. And they just want to follow lies. Now, listen. If there's anyone that can make himself a big donkey, it's this man right here. I can make myself more like a big than anything, than anybody on the face of this earth. I'm a screw up. I'm not trying to say that proudly. I'm just a screw up. Don't believe me, you should come over here and take a look at my laptop. Me trying to downgrade this thing to a lower thing. I screwed everything up. I can't even click on the start button. I'm a screw up. For some reason, God chose to use a screw up to preach his truth, to preach his word. And he has chosen a mumbler to preach his word, which I can be a mumbler and can't talk straight. Sometimes I just can't think straight. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. And without Christ, I can do nothing. Amen. Let's see here. I want to kind of go through here real quick. If you guys have, I'm sure you probably don't have a pen or paper, but just some cross references you can cross reference scriptures you can take a look at. Genesis chapter 22 verse 18, 2 Samuel 7:12, Psalm 89:3, Psalm 132:11, Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 11:1, Matthew 1:2. Matthew 9:27, Luke 1:32-33, Luke 1:16, 1:69. Not, by the way, 1:69. I'm not talking about the freeway in Minnesota. There's a highway in Minnesota called 1:69. That is not called Luke 1:69. I was making a joke. So Luke 1:69, Luke 3:32, John 7:42, Acts 13:23, Romans 1:3, Romans 9:5, Galatians 3:16, 1 Timothy 2:5, 2 Timothy 2:8, and Revelation 22:16. I know I said that really fast, but if you're ever curious and want to know those cross-reference scriptures, I'm going to tell you what. If you have like an email, if anyone has an email and they want a copy of these notes or any notes I've ever done, I am more than willing to just give them to you. Okay? I'd be more than willing to email them to you because I want you all to do your own studies. Amen? So, that's actually it for that whole thing. I do want to say this. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God, that Jesus Christ is who he says he is and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Okay, it's very simple. You just need to sincerely go before the Lord, repent of your sins, ask him to cleanse you of your sins. Ask him into your heart and life. Ask him to fill you with his spirit. And then thank him for saving you. Amen. It's not a very difficult process. It's not a difficult thing. It's a very simple thing. Amen. But here's the thing. I want you guys to be Bereans. Okay. I was given advice. I was given advice from an elder growing up, growing up in the faith, I was taught to always be like Sherlock. And Sherlock is a fictitious character, but he's a detective, and Sherlock is one who who's able to connect dots and research things and be able to solve things. Okay? Now, in a similar way, that's what you all should do. You should all take what I say and you should match it. You should take what I say and compare it to Scripture. If what I say does not match what this Bible says, then let God be true and every man a liar. And if I'm wrong, then I pray and ask the Lord will correct and chasten me on it and show me where I'm wrong. And I will say that I will have to give an account. And whatever, whether good or bad, I'll have to give an account one of these days to the Lord as to what I said and did. Okay? But if I'm right, I pray that He will show you what I'm talking to you guys about. Amen? So with that said, I'm going to play a hymn. And I want you guys to take the message and think on it and meditate on it while this like 30-some second clip of this hymnal plays. And after that, we're going to close. Okay? We'll close it off and call it an evening. So if I can find it, here we go. So here it is. It's 33 seconds long. It's not that long. But here it goes. I want to try to do something really quickly before we leave. I'm going to try to do something here. I don't know if anyone sees this. This is a hymnal. I have this hymnal because, you know, I just have it. But what I'd like to maybe start doing is singing a cappella to just start singing hymnals on my broadcasts. Maybe sing like one before or one after. And instead of just the music, I will sing. My singing ain't that great, but I'm still willing to do it because, hey, make a joyful sound unto the make a joyful sound. Amen. Make a joyful sound unto the Lord. So I have this hymnal, and I'm thinking about maybe singing a cappella. I did it last week. I think it was last week. It was sometime. So pray for me on that. I'd like to try to do that if the Lord wills. I'm going to maybe think about doing that. But anyways, listen, guys, I love you guys. Please pray for me. I've got a lot of financial woes, as I have mentioned at the beginning, and it's really kind of stressing me out. So pray for me, but really pray for my family too, because, you know, it affects them too. You know, it affects all of us. You know, all of us are kind of stressed out. By the way, I got a friend here. There we go. This is Skittles. Look at that. Say hi, Skittles. That's Skittles. Boy, you know what? I don't think Frosty would like you very well, but I like Frosty, and I like you too. That's Skittles. He wants to be like going out, but that's Skittles. That's our cat. He's in here. He just kind of just chilling out for a little bit, and I just wanted him to show you all a little kitty. He's a little kitty. He's kind of like a little miniature lion. I like to mess with him a little bit, just to see to have fun with him a little bit. I like cats, but I like dogs too, and I don't know, lately I've kind of had a old English sheepdog deal where those dogs are adorable. I tell you what, I've seen pictures of them. But anyways, But anyways, I love you guys very dearly. I really do. I hope that you enjoy this broadcast. I want you to please pray for the ministry. The ministry, if you don't know, is Fishers of Men. And if the Lord willing, tomorrow I'm gonna kind of do a video on it tomorrow, because I don't know if many people know what Fishers of Men and stuff like that. I don't know if many people actually know that. So please pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for me. Pray for the ministry. Pray that God will just have His way and will. I enjoy doing these videos, and it's your prayers that keep me doing this, okay? As weird as it sounds, your prayers keep me doing this. And I'm going to tell you something. For all those who pray for the ministry, and I know there's a brother who gives, I'm going to tell you something. You will be rewarded. You'll have part of the rewards that this ministry does. So what this ministry does, and the rewards that we get for doing this, you'll share in those rewards. It's not just all for me. It's all those who participate and just even simply watching. So I just want to encourage you guys I want to encourage you with that. All right. So listen, I love you guys. God bless you. This is Pastor Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. Woo, went over my head. God bless you guys. I love you. Remember, think Bible. Amen. We got to think Bible. But till next time, God bless you. I love you. If the Lord will, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your New Year's. We'll see you tomorrow. Love you. Bye.